tonight we're going to talk about following after peace. There are so many distractions. Anybody ever been distracted? There's so many pulls out there in the world. There's so many opportunities for us to lose our peace. We have peace when we have Jesus. How many of you have Jesus living on the inside of you? Well, then we have the Prince of Peace. But we also have an enemy who comes after our peace. He comes after our faith, all that God has given us. He comes after those things. But there's lots of things that can try to take the place due in our heart to that peace. People look for peace in all the wrong places. People think, well, you know, I got a great job, so I got peace. I've got a wonderful IRA set up. I've got a great retirement plan, so I've got peace. Well, guess what? The news is, if you have your peace wrapped up in that, there's lots of people tonight that don't any longer have peace, right? There's other people that say, well, you know, I'm strong. I have no physical issues. I've got peace because I know I'll always be able to work hard. And then what happens? They get attacked in their body and their world crumbles. But folks, as believers, no matter what's going on around us, that song they sang tonight, though the world might fall and crumble and everything else, we got the rock. And his name is Jesus. I want to begin tonight by looking over in Isaiah chapter 9. Most of my scriptures tonight I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified. If it's a different version, I'll let you know. But this is a verse that we look up at many times at Christmas time. But it's not just for Christmas. Christmas really should be every day, because that's celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we ought to celebrate who he is and what he's done for us. But here in verse 6 of Isaiah 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." I think we ought to stop and shout right there. Praise the Lord. Amen. His name is called Wonderful. Counselor. You need any counsel? Mighty God. That means there is no other stronger than the Lord our God. He is the mighty God. He's everlasting. Aren't you glad we can depend upon him? Everlasting Father. His love has no end, no limits. Everlasting. Amen. And then this is one of his names. He's the Prince of Peace. Yes, he is. He's the author of peace. He's the only one that can give true and everlasting peace. It's great to have a wonderful marriage. It's great to have an awesome relationship with your children. But you know what? Those things can have problems. Those relationships and that peace in those relationships can be disturbed. Pastor Tom went into shock when I said that. Because he's married to a perfect person, you know, so what? But really, PT, there are people that aren't married to perfect people. It's great to have wonderful relationships, but it's awesome to know the Prince of Peace. And when this Prince of Peace was given to us, when we receive him into our life, all that he is comes and resides on the inside of us. He doesn't want his people going through life uptight, distraught, worried, anxious, just all upset all the time. That's not his will. That's not his plan. We were not created to live like that. Our human physical body was not made to bear stress and anxiety and to live constantly under the weight and the care and the burdens of this life. Certainly those things come to all of us, but that's why he said, learn to roll and to cast your care over upon me. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast the whole, the entire of your worries, concern, and anxieties once and for all over upon me. Why, Jesus, do you want us to do that? Because if we don't, the cares, concerns, worries, anxieties, and pressures of life not only will rob and steal you of your peace and your joy, but they'll kill you physically. Our bodies were not designed to carry all of that crud. Jesus came to give us peace. Perfect peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. Just the very word of peace. I like some of these definitions I saw today in Webster's. One is harmony. Isn't that good? Serenity. And this was interesting. A state of security. Isn't it nice to have that security in Jesus? You're not going to find it anywhere else. Now let's look over in the New Testament. These are very familiar scriptures tonight, but I just dropped by to remind all of us we have peace available unto us. Amen. And don't let it be robbed out of your life. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 27, again in the Amplified. Jesus is speaking here. It's in red. So that means it came right from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. That's a mouthful right there. We just live on that scripture. We live in a different place than most of us are living in today. This teaching that Jesus was giving to his disciples, it was one of the last teachings that he laid out before he left this earth. That tells us that he wanted his disciples to see the importance of walking and dwelling in this place called peace. Amen. He was giving them, he understood that it was something that he was providing through the work of salvation. He knew that he was the author of it, and he wanted to bequeath it to his disciples and to all the followers that were to come. Are you one of the followers of Christ? Then this verse was written to you. My peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you. My peace I bequeath unto you. What does bequeath mean? It simply means to leave or give by a will.
Right.
It's important that we lay out a will. In the natural, living trust is better in this day and in this age, so that when you go on to be with the Lord, when you're 90 or however old you're going to be, when you go on to be with the Lord, that your relatives know exactly what you want done. If you got a little doggy, we had a little doggy, he's in doggy heaven. But, you know, if we were to have a will and we wanted to bequeath George, we would have bequeathed George, most likely.
Bequeath.
Oh, well, you all know what I mean. You want to preach?
No, you go ahead.
We would have bequeathed, or whatever, George back to his original owner, which was James. We would have put it in the will. George is all yours. Once again, buddy, you get to heaven. Anything that's valuable and precious to you, and it's real important that a certain person get it, you should take the time to write out your will. We won't use that word again since I won't be corrected. Write out the will. Put it in your living trust, what you want done. That's what a bequeath, or whatever it is. I'll go over here and spit on him when I say bequeath. It's leaving or giving by a will. Well, Jesus said, I'm leaving and I'm giving you peace by my will and testament. What is Jesus' will? His word is his will. So he's saying, if you want to operate, if you want to live, if you want to dwell in that place of peace, find out what I've said in my word about you. Knowledge about what Jesus has done for us. Dwelling on the promises. Meditating in the word of God. You know what it produces? It produces peace. Even in the midst of a storm. Even in the midst of a terrible, turbulent time. If you go to the word of God and you find a promise that covers your case, even though it doesn't look like anything is changing in the natural, all hell can be breaking out around you and on every side in your life. But when you go to the word of God and you see what he has willed you, you see what he has promised you, then even all these thoughts are coming to your mind and bombarding you, but you can have peace on the inside of you. That's why he said, I'm leaving it to you. You dig into my will. And when you see what I have promised in my word, you will operate in that peace. And he told us that it's something that we must pursue. We must go after it. And when we have it, we must guard it in our hearts and not let it be taken away. Our attitude ought to be, I refuse to have my peace disturbed by people, situations, circumstances, devils. I'm not going to let you take my peace. Disease, you're not going to. You may attack my body, but you're not taking the peace of God on the inside of me. I've got peace with God, and I've got the peace of God that he is my healer. Hallelujah. I might get laid off from my job, but that job was not my peace and my security. I still have the peace of God that he has promised to provide for me, to meet all of my needs, to do exceedingly, abundantly above. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus was saying. This peace has been given to you. Don't let it be taken away. Didn't he say here? He said, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated or disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated. The devil tries to intimidate us. And one of the biggest things that he uses in intimidation is fear. Fear, make us afraid. It's not going to change. The word's not going to work for you. You're not going to get answers to your prayers. Don't be intimidated by him. He is a liar. He's the father of lies. He knows that you've got the peace of God. He has no peace. Day and night, the devil is tormented. Day and night, he knows his doom. He knows his end. It's already bad. But it's going to get worse. So he doesn't like the fact that you've got peace. And he's coming after it. But we're not going to let him have it. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated, to be disturbed, to be unsettled. The devil does not know everything. He doesn't know all things. But he is an observer. That's why the Bible talks about familiar spirits. What are familiar spirits? They're familiar with you. So they are aware and they observe our behavior. And they know what pushes your buttons. And they set up traps. They set up snares. Doesn't the Bible talk about we shouldn't fall into the snares of the devil. They set up these opportunities for our peace to be disturbed.
Right.
You wake up in the morning, you're having a perfectly wonderful morning, and you go downstairs, and the mate is grumpy. I like something that John Osteen said. I'll just throw this in here. It's years ago. John Osteen's Joel Osteen's father. He's been in heaven for many years, but him and his wife, Dodie and John, they had an awesome relationship. They were so secure in their relationship that they publicly picked on each other a lot. Jokes about one another, just like Pastor and I. See, we're secure in our relationship. He knows I love him. I know he loves me, so, you know, hey, whatever. But somebody said to Brother Osteen, because he was a cheerful person, "Brother Osteen, do you ever wake up grumpy in the morning?" And he said, "No, I usually let her sleep." So, you wake up full of peace, ready to have a pleasant day, and grumpy awaits you downstairs. You have an opportunity. You have a choice whether to get into strife and to get out of love and let your peace be disturbed for the day. What else? What happens when you get to work and there's that surly coworker waiting for you? Just all sorts of ugly things to say and negative attitudes. We have a choice. What about you go out to lunch and there she is, Mrs. Snippy Waitress is waiting on you. "May I help you?" Throws a glass of water at you, slams the menu down. And then we're not going to even mention what could happen on 880 or 580. It's unspeakable things that can happen on the freeway to try to rob you of your peace. And isn't it amazing? People cut you off. They do all sorts of crazy things and you scream and you yell and God forbid any ungodly gestures and all of these things. And then you just feel your blood pressure soaring. And if you're a woman over 50, an immediate hot flash, you're just beside yourself. Your stomach's upset. The adrenaline is flowing. There's a rush. Your whole, it takes you a long time to calm down. And the other driver that cuts you off just goes along merrily. Didn't affect him at all. These are things that are designed to rob us of our peace. What's the right choice in all of these situations? And you can fill in the blank. You know what things push your button. What is the right choice? The right choice is to say, "Okay, you're being mean and you're grumpy, but that's your issue. And I'm not going to let your issue and your problems become my problems. Yes, you are a terrible driver. You must have gotten your driver's license out of a catalog, but I am not going to let your driving inabilities become my issue. I got angels, thank God. And anytime I see you coming, I'm extra pleading the blood. I got the angels of the Lord. But your problems are not going to become my problems. We have a helper that helps us stay in the peace of God. And we're going to look at this scripture over in Colossians, again in the Amplified, Colossians 3, verse 15. I love this verse. Obviously, there's many, many scriptures on peace, and we won't be able to cover them all, but I feel I'm going to highlight the ones that I felt prompted in my heart today that we should, and this is one of them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 in the Amplified. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. Isn't that interesting? The questions don't come up in our heart. They arise in our mind. In that peaceful state to which as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Now we want to just look at this in a little more detail. First of all, it says that peace is to be the umpire of our lives. Settling every issue that needs a decision. What does an umpire do? An umpire calls the plays. He decides whether they're safe or they're out. Peace should be the umpire of our lives. Another thing about an umpire is he often sees things that we don't catch because he has a different vantage point. He has a different view. I've been to some sporting events. Usually I don't pay much attention, but sometimes I do. And so you can see sometimes there's a major disturbance on the field because the umpire called a play that the players didn't agree with. And I notice when everybody's running off at the bench or what is that right? The bench. They're running out there. What's the deal? They didn't agree with the play of the umpire. But now in this age of technology, oftentimes they'll play it back and they'll look at it and say the umpire was right. He saw something that the other people were unable to see. And it's wisdom not to argue with the umpire. A lot of coaches that throw dirt and kick their foot and get in their face and all of that stuff. I remember that old, what was that? Billy Martin, that one A's coach. We used to go to those games. He was kicking dirt. And you could just imagine what he was saying. And what did the umpire usually do? Out. He got kicked out because he was arguing with the umpire. It would be wise for us to stop ignoring, arguing, and overriding the calls of our peace umpire. He sees things. He understands things that we may not know. He knows things because the peace of God is all wrapped up in the Spirit of God. And He is the Spirit of seeing. He is the Spirit of knowing. He knows the past, the present, and the future. And something can look so right to our head and feel so wonderful to our emotions. But our umpire called peace on the inside can be saying, out, out, it's not right. Don't hook up with that new job opportunity. Don't move in to that place. Don't date that person. Don't go here. Don't go there. As I was looking at this today, it just stood out to me that the umpire, it says here, is in our hearts. The peace of God dwells here on the inside of us. It's not a head thing. It's not an emotional thing. It went on here in this scripture and it says, he will settle with finality all questions that arise in our minds. Yeah. Our mind is the battlefield. Our thoughts is where the war takes place, if you would. Our mind can be giving us fits and saying, I wonder how this is going to happen. I wonder why that happened to me. I wonder when it's ever going to change. I wonder where God's going to show up. Questions, questions, questions coming to our mind. Confusion trying to overtake our mind. And if we live up here, we'll yield, we'll cave in to all of that. But this says, let the umpire of peace rise up in your heart and settle the issue.
Very good.
We can have the peace of God on the inside of us with our mind not full of peace. But it doesn't matter what's going on in our mind. If we will walk by what's in our heart and we will listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and yield to the promptings that He's putting on the inside of us, He always leads us in pathways of peace and pleasantness and prosperity and provision. But we can't be living up here. We can't be yielding to confusion and worry and concern. I love this. Let the umpire of peace that's in your heart settle with finality all questions that may be arising in your mind. Too many Christians live the exact opposite of this verse. Their mind is saying, she looks fine. Their mind is saying, you need to buy that. Go ahead and say that. Give them a piece of your mind. And they yield to what their mind is saying. When the whole time down here, the umpire of peace is disturbed. The umpire of peace is saying, kick that thought out. The umpire of peace is saying, don't say that. It's out of here. Listen to me. Resist the devil. That's from the devil. Listen to me. Don't do that. Don't go there. But people are so sense driven and so living in the mental realm. It's the exact opposite of what this verse says. They're living out of their heads. They're following the decisions of their mind. And the umpire of peace has given them check after check after check, call after call after call that says out. But they're not listening. They override it. I mean, you've heard people say things like this. I've heard people say, I know I shouldn't say this, but.
All right.
And then just spew it out. I know I shouldn't have done that, but I yielded. I just wanted to. So I did it anyway. I know I shouldn't have bought this, but. Now, on that one, I've been there and done that. Few times. You get home and you look at it and you're like, when you're in the store, you've tried it on and it's sort of cute, but it's not quite. But, you know, I can put this accessory with it. I can wear that sweater with it. I can do something to cover up that part of it. You know what I'm saying? Little here, little there. Folks, if it ain't quite, it's usually not right. Right? Go to the cleaner lady. She knows how to do alterations. I think there's a half an inch in here. Yeah, she can just take it out. Then it'll just be great. No. Never has worked. We've all done that. And it's the worst thing. This has happened to me too. It's the worst thing to buy something and you really did like it, but on the inside you just... Yeah. Have this check. Don't buy it yet. Don't buy it yet. But there's only one left in my size. I know somebody's going to come and get it. I got to have it.
All right.
You buy it. You go back into the store next week and it's 50% off.
Yeah.
Bummer, dude. Has anybody else ever been there? I know this is a lady illustration, but hey, there's a lot of ladies in here. Let me just say this. I have grown and I have developed. I am a seasoned shopper. And I miss it less and less. Shopping is a good place to practice or whatever. I mean, practice somewhere. Now, that doesn't mean that you go to the mall and you see this purse or you see this tie and you just fall out on the floor and go into travail. Should I buy it or not? They're going to haul you out. But just stop for a minute. Just get quiet for a minute. Just walk away. Lay it down. Walk away and say, okay, don't do it. If Pastor was a Holy Ghost and he was with me, it's always don't. But shopping is a good place to practice. Practice in some of the smaller things that are not life and death situations. Don't wait until it's time to buy a house or buy a car. Or get married and then say, now, how do I hear from God? Now, what does it mean to have peace? Practice on something littler, like a purse or a tie or a pair of socks. You know what I'm saying? Those will not destroy your life if you buy an ugly tie or an ugly dress. You know what I'm, but practice following after peace. There's too many people that say, I can't be led. I don't know when God is speaking. I'm not sure if I have peace or not. My answer to you is yes, you can, and yes, you do. God did not make it difficult. He said, for as many as are my children, we are led by the Spirit of God. What does that mean? It just means following after peace. You know what it's like when you, if you don't know what it's like to follow after peace, do you know what it's like to make a bad decision? Do you know what it feels like when you've done something that you know was not a good choice? Every one of us know what that yuck feels like on the inside. Or every one of us knows what it's like to lay awake at night after we've said or done something and we just can't go to sleep. Our mind is racing. There's just something wrong on the inside of us. That is an indicator that peace has been disturbed. That the umpire is trying to give you a call. He's trying to instruct you in a way. But on the other hand, we know what it's like. You know what it's like. Go to bed at night. Maybe you've witnessed to somebody. Maybe you said something to somebody during the day and you just have on the inside of you, you know, God used me today. That was a good thing that I said to that person. I know I helped them. Saying that kind word. Serving in that nursery. You know, when God is pulling you to go serve in the church and you follow after that, you know what you have? Peace. It's not that difficult to recognize and to locate the peace of God. It may not be exactly the same for every one of us, even though peace is the same. But it may come across to you a little bit differently than it does to me. But just kind of track how it works in your life. Just kind of see what happens when you've missed it. I know for me, when I miss it, it's just on the inside of me. It's like a scratching. It's like a yuck. Many times I feel like crying. Sometimes I do cry because I know I've grieved the Holy Spirit and something is wrong. I've disturbed that peace. And He didn't do anything wrong, so I did something wrong. So when I have that overwhelming sense, I know I got to repent. I know I got to get back right with God. And then I know what it feels like to have that peace overwhelm me again. And to be in that place, to have it restored. Just track that out in your life. And it will help you stay in that place of peace. Has anybody here ever played that little game, Follow the Leader? What do you do in that game? You observe the leader and you do what the leader does. Title of what my sermon is tonight is Follow After Peace. I want to look over at Romans chapter 14, verse 19. This one we're going to look in the King James. Romans 14, 19. Anybody getting anything tonight? Yeah. Wednesday night is more like a Bible study. It's our teaching, instructing time. So we're drawing on the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Romans 14, 19 in the King James. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Just to reiterate, if it doesn't produce peace, don't go after it. Follow after the things which make for peace. If it's not producing that in your life, don't pursue it. No matter how bad your little flesh is saying, get it, get it, get it. You need it, you need it, you need it. Buy it now. Use your credit. You've got plastic in your purse. Get it, get it, get it. Why do I have all of these shopping and purchasing illustrations? Where I live, where a lot of you live too, but anyway. Follow after the things which make for peace. Pursue them. If the new job opportunity comes to make more money, but it's in a whole other state that you don't know if they have a church there, you don't know anything about it, and you don't have peace, don't follow after it. Yeah. Don't chase it. Because your umpire on the inside of you not only knows the present, the past, he knows the future. Yes. You might move your entire family there and the company fold in 6 months. God knows. Don't you wish Conan O'Brien had the peace of God? Look what he did. Some of you don't even know who he is. If you don't, that's a good thing. Uprooted his family, left New York, went to L.A. and pulled the plug on his show. Everything that glitters is not always gold. Follow after the things which make for peace. Oh, that guy, he's so handsome. He's so this. He's got biceps and triceps and seps that you don't, no one else even knew existed. But does Mr. Bicep Man have a job?
Yeah. Come on now. Preach now. Help him out. Help the sisters now. Come on, help him out.
He can't be Mr. Right if his finances are wrong. Let's just say that. Follow after the things which make for peace. The word follow literally means this. And we're fixing. Not yet, fixing. Follow means to chase, to pursue, and then listen to this one. To attend to. That means give heed, put first place. And then I saw this one just today. I like this one. To go along a designated course. Follow. Go along a designated course. You ever tried to follow somebody on the freeway? Isn't always easy. But Jesus has a designated course for our lives. And that course is full of peace.
That's right.
It's not full of potholes. Every one of us are going to face difficulty in life. I'm not stupid. I know that. But there is a place in God where we can have peace even in the midst of the storm. Yes. And if we are in our right place doing what we are supposed to do, peace will be a byproduct. Yeah. It will be provided. God did not create us like robots. We are not pre-programmed to go praise him, praise him, praise him. We are not pre-programmed. Oh, it's noon. Pray, pray, pray. We're not pre-programmed from heaven. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Get up and go to church. We aren't pre-programmed to pay our tithes. It would have been good maybe if he would have slipped that one in there. But he wasn't looking for robots. He's looking for people that willingly will serve him, that want to worship him, that love him with all of their hearts, that give because they love him and want to be obedient to him. And he does not make us do anything. He doesn't make us serve him. He doesn't make us walk in his perfect will. But what he is saying to us is, if you will follow me, you will have a good life. Right. Tells us that over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I think it is, that he has predestined paths for us to take. And if we will hook up with him and we will listen to the peace of God on the inside of us, he will give us a life that is pleasant. We will have and enjoy the good life that God has prearranged and made ready for us. He does have a plan and a purpose and a place for each of his children. And it's not a place of turmoil and contention and strife. I know that we deal with this stuff, but it shouldn't be a way of life. It shouldn't be that we live in a habitual state of confusion and uproar. He's destined for us to have peaceable habitations, strife-free environments. Now, just today, I was looking at this verse, and it may not speak to you like it did to me. I've been reading in the book of Exodus in my devotional time. This is over in Exodus chapter 18. Look at it out of the King James. The background of this chapter is that Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, came to him. Moses was out there ruling and judging all these millions of people. Can you imagine the problems, the issues? And they were coming to Moses with everything. What should I do? Take care of this and take care of that. Well, his father-in-law, Jethro, came to visit, and he immediately saw that Moses was not going to last long if he didn't do some delegation. And so he came up with a plan to set men over hundreds and fifties and twenties and all of this, and just then the big matters you bring to Moses. But I just liked this, the way this said this here in the King James in Exodus chapter 18. We'll look at just verse 23. So this was after Jethro had given him a plan. Then God gave him the witness that this was the right thing to do. And he said, if thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And this just spoke to me. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. Very good. What spoke to me is that every person has a place of peace. All this people shall go to their place in peace. All of you have a place called there in God. It's a place of peace and it's a place of provision. When you get in that place, and it's not just a place where you live, it's more of a spiritual place. When you get to that spiritual place of peace, then you will be provided for in the natural. Your family will be taken care of. All this people shall go to their place in peace. If you're not experiencing peace in your life, number one could be you're not born again. You haven't acknowledged and recognized and accepted the Prince of Peace. If you're already born again and your peace has been disturbed, then I want to exhort you to follow after peace and to get back into that place. All the people went to their place in peace. One last scripture. Can you handle one more? Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Again, we'll do in the King James, verse 12. Anybody getting anything tonight? I believe God's helping us. Now, before we read verse 12, I find this interesting that verse 12 is after verse 8 and 9. Isn't that a revelation? But verse 8 and 9 of this same chapter says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He's given us a clue here on how to have peace. Once again, it's not to live out of our thoughts.
Right.
It's not to dwell on what's coming to our mind. His ways, his thoughts are way higher and much better. Amen? Amen. So if you dwell there, you're going to live on a lot lower rung of life. He said, come on up. Come on up. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to cast down those negative thoughts, cast down those evil imaginations, and come up to that higher place and tap in to his higher thoughts. Amen. And one last verse here, verse 12. "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Hallelujah. Go forth with joy, led forth with peace. Isn't that amazing? Joy always accompanies peace. If you've got peace, you'll also have joy. He wants us to be led forth with joy, to go out in peace. Amen? Amen. Isn't that great that joy and peace go together? Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says there's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. God wants us to be at peace, but he also wants us to be full of joy. And we will be when we operate in the peace of God. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your peace. We thank you, Lord, that hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Let's rejoice. Let's thank God for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of turbulent times, even in the midst of unsettled times, we thank you that we are settled in our hearts. We are founded upon the rock, the Prince of Peace. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.